You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. We've been marvelling over the extraordinary crowd and indeed the game itself. It was the Scorchers winning a record fifth BBL title for the completion of BBL 12. We wanted to look at it from a holistic point of view. And it's really interesting. I had grave fears about the BBL and yet it somehow came back and was strong both in the lounge room and live at the ground. The general manager of the BBL is Alistair Dobson. He's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Alistair.
G'day, Jimmy. Great to chat.
Yeah, thank you for your time. We found it hard to put our finger on any one thing. I think it's a number of things, but can you give us an indication? And the indications were there very early, Alistair. The big bash was back. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not any one thing. I think, firstly, our clubs and our players and Cricket Australia always believed in the strength of the competition and battled through two really tough years through COVID, but we were able to sort of play all the matches and keep the show on the road, if you like. So I think we knew that if we had the opportunity to do things a bit more freely and bring it back to where it was, that we would have a good season. I think it started early on with momentum built around the overseas player draft and a lot of conversation around the quality of the players through to, great activity and work from our clubs in connecting with fans. Obviously, the cricket did its thing, amazing on-field highlights and a few dramas and all the things that make a strong season. And then, in the end, an amazing final on Saturday night that really capped it off.
Alistair, is there any one metric that you look at more than others to get an idea of the health of the competition?
Yeah, I think crowds are always going to be your key health metric. I think the strength of the broadcast comes off the energy coming from the crowd. Obviously, we look at audience numbers and TV numbers. And I think, obviously, another stat we look at is the number of close games we have a season. We have some metrics we put around that. And this season was the equal most number of close matches ever in the BBL. So they're all the indicators. But ultimately, from our perspective, crowds are the key, and we're really delighted with the way our clubs are able to connect again with fans and bring people into the grounds. And I think ultimately, not just crowds overall, but kids and families in the crowd remain our core audience. And to see kids in such numbers connecting with their heroes again was possibly the highlight of all.
Yeah, which brings us to the next point. So going from 61 games to 43, was there ever a point there during the course of the season? Because I felt it about two-thirds of the way through. The deal's just been announced and, hey, this is really great. We're getting a condensed season. And my thought was, well, I don't really want a condensed season now. I'm enjoying the 61 games again. Was there a little bit of a feel of that, Alistair?
No, we feel like a shorter season is going to be even better again. I think people saw the best of the BBL this season, but being able to bring it back to by a week or so in the season will allow the overseas players to stay a bit longer. Will hopefully enable the best players to take part, and really less can be more. I think in this situation where we'd love fans to be really desperate to see as much BBL as they can, and I think next season, if it's next season or the one after, depending on when that kicks in, I think you'll see it even bigger and stronger again.
So that was, how did you see the international draft? So from my point of view, from a viewing point of view, I was more interested in see how Josh Brown's going to go than Martin Guptill. And I know there's a gulf between what those players are getting paid. Do you need to relook at the way the internationals have done understand best what connects with your audience in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the mix of players in the BBL is a combination of three or four things. Obviously, it's the BBL stars that everyone has in their team, the Australian white ball players that tend to play most games, alongside you know, the unknown players that are now household names. And I think the overseas players certainly play an important role to bring a point of difference and entertainment to the competition as well. So, you know, we were really happy with the way the draft went. We thought it landed as well as we'd hoped, that the right players or the good players were drafted. It would drove a lot of discussion and a little bit of debate, which was great. And then ultimately backed up with performances on the field. So yeah, overall, while there's improvements we'll make, and that's part of the review that we're kicking off today, in all elements of the season is how we make that even better. But ultimately the draft did its thing.
Rescheduling for next year. Like, it was great. Manus Labuschagne, Davey Warner, Steve Smith. Steve Smith was just amazing for him to come back and play the way he did. Based on next year with the Adelaide Oval getting an Australia Day or around Australia Day test match, how likely are we to see those Australian superstars be back in the Big Bash next year?
Yeah, the way next summer's schedule shapes up looks a little more difficult than this year. So, and it is a year-by-year proposition. The year after, for example, looks pretty strong again. So next year, our focus will be again on those overseas players and hopefully an opportunity for them to stay for longer, if not the entire competition. I think, you know, also remember there was a couple of the biggest name BBL players didn't play a game, whether that's Glenn Maxwell or Mitch Marsh and one or two others. So, you know, that's always part of the mix of the BBL season, is getting the best players out there. And if we can find a way for the biggest name Australian players to play, we always will. Next year does look a little more challenged, perhaps, this one.
Talking to some of the players around format and what it looks like and some of the innovations that's been used previously, and you could argue about their relative success. The one that stayed this year was the power surge. Now, that's not used in a World Cup format. Are you okay with that? I think it adds something to the game. Maybe from a player point of view, it's a thought that, well, this is not how it's played in the World Cup, so how does that help us in trying to win a T20 World Cup? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, the power surge is certainly an innovation that we think added an enormous amount to the BBL. We've tried two or three over the past few years, and that's the one that's really landed well. And I think, you know, the BBL has always been innovative and prepared to go against the grain, if you like. And I think the power surge has played a role this year in some of the stats around closeness. It's kept a lot of intrigue and strategy. We understand the feedback that it doesn't align perfectly with world events or other formats, and that's always a consideration for us. I think on the flip side, we do see an opportunity for other players further down the order to have a chance at perhaps batting under sort of power play conditions. So there's pros and cons there, but ultimately from a BBL perspective, it's been, I think, a wild success.
Yeah, funnily enough, one of the players that I spoke to also mentioned what the salary cap would be next year, and obviously there was a push for it to head north. That's been speculated that there will be an increase in the cap, and what will that allow the BBL franchises to do from an international and indeed domestic point of view?
We're in the middle of a conversation or a negotiation with the ACA around a new MOU, which is a regular renewal of a really important cricket agreement. I think we're aligned with them on the need or the importance of making sure the BBL and WBBL, to be honest, stay really competitive globally, whether that's the salary levels or the way lists are structured and all those considerations. If there's an opportunity for it to go up in the BBL, that's only gonna help our ambitions in terms of the global standing of the competition. It's way too early to be speculating on any outcomes there, but you know, as I said, we're aligned on that. I think I saw a column from Todd Greenberg over the weekend sort of reinforcing the importance of players in the BBL and being able to pay them on a global scale. So it's one of the important projects coming up.
Yeah, so that's where the threat comes from other tournaments, whether it's South Africa or the UAE. And one of the things talked about to counter that is private investment. Is that also something that is still on the table around some of these sides having interest out of India or anywhere and being able to increase profile, therefore eyeballs to the competition?
Oh, I think we've seen this season the BBLs, as we just started this conversation, incredibly healthy, vibrant product. We're really confident in its position and strength. I think any of those broader matters are more governance matters are more a matter for the CA board and others. My role is to make sure that the BBL is as strong and vibrant as it can be, and I think we're heading on the right path there. What the future looks like, I think, is all part of part of the picture that gets built.
Yeah, the Scorchers have been dominant. Maybe not dominant in the final on Saturday night, but they've won their fifth title. The Sixers, to a lesser degree, with their three titles. And then the rest of the teams, they've either had one or none. Is that a good thing? And how do you go around changing that if you believe it's not?
I mean, ultimately, it's a good thing that the best team wins the competition. And I think, we see the Scorchers up close on and off the field, whether that's the way the team's coached and the culture they have, and off field, the way that the club wraps around that and really engages the Perth community. So you'd always be very mindful or wary of changing anything that doesn't enable those sort of clubs to be as good as they can be. Ultimately, you want every team with a really legitimate chance every year to win it. We want eight clubs starting the season thinking they've got a chance. I think generally we have that, but that remains, a regular point of review. And like any league, your contracting rules and the way lists are structured are an important part of making sure it's a competitive league where everyone has a chance. And I think everyone can learn a lot from the way the Scorchers and to a degree the Sixers have maintained their success. They're a pretty phenomenal organisation all around.
Yeah, everyone except the Stars, right, Alistair? They're no chance of winning it, are they?
Oh, no, I think if anything, they've had a couple of weeks head start not having made the finals. It's one of the silver linings of missing out. They're well and truly on underway, rebuilding, and they'll be a force next year, I'm sure.
Your highlight of BBL 12?
Oh, there's a few. It's hard to go past Saturday night, but that's probably the predictable one. That the administrator in me, just the highlight was every night going to games and probably after the game, for an hour after every game, seeing players signing autographs over the fence, connecting with kids. I think we sorely missed that for a couple of years, and perhaps even before that, whether that was taken for granted. So, I think the way the BBL connects heroes to kids is still its core strength. So, it's hard to go past that. It makes you smile every night. But then, ultimately 53,000 and, well over a million people watching it on TV on Saturday night, and arguably, the best BBL final ever. That's a pretty nice way to finish as well.
You know what, Alistair, I was going to mention as my highlight, not the fact that Steve Smith put on a masterclass at the Sydney Smash, but that 1 hour after that game, I'm still hanging around with my 8-year-old daughter who's got a Sydney Thunder cap on, and there is Steve Smith prepared to stand there and get a selfie with her. And I thought, well, that's from a guy of that standing in the game. I thought just amazing. So well done on a season. Let's hope that it continues to go from a question mark to strength, and long may it continue. Thanks for your time today, Alistair.
Thanks, Jimmy. Anytime.
Alistair Dobson there. He's the general manager of the BBL. You can spin it whichever way you like it, but there's only good stories coming out of the BBL in season 12. All right, news and then back with more.